Hey, AfterBuzzers. Welcome back to the Good Doctor After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight, we are breaking down Season 2, Episode 4, Tough Titmouse. We'll be diving into Glassman's hallucinations, Sean and Leah's hot and cold relationship, and the hard questions, how to make unbiased decisions. We've got a lot to cover, so stick around.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Can we all agree that karaoke scene was very fun?
It was. At the end, it was. But leading up to it, I was just a little bummed.
Oh, we have a lot of feelings, and we were definitely going to get into all of those. What's up, everyone? I'm Veronica Valencia, and joining me today we have...
Carlina Will. Hey, guys.
And welcome, welcome. As always, I'm Tequila Jackson.
Of course, we are going to be diving in, like I said, into Sean and Leah's friendship, relationship, hot and cold, whatever they got going on right now. We're going to be diving into all of that. Glassman's hallucinations with his daughter, and of course, the cases between all of our doctors and residents. But before we get into any of that, ladies, our overall thoughts on tonight's episode.
Oh my gosh. Dr. Glassman, and just hearing what happened with his daughter, I'm really excited to get into that. There was just a lot of drama, and I was not expecting it.
With you, Carolina, on that one. I think that was the emotional part of the episode for me. And hopefully it was very therapeutic for Dr. Glassman. Leah annoyed the socks off my feet. And I was really very annoyed with her. And then I know Claire usually has a good heart and she tries to do what's best, but also was a good question of how do you not bring your baggage into someone else's personal issue. So I thought that was very good.
I agree with you, Tequila. Leah was bothering me so much this episode, and we're obviously going to get into that so we can, dissect it so it's not just, we're ganging up on the girl. Good. But also, I agree. I felt like this episode we got into a little bit more of everyone's backstories. We got the flashback of Sean, which we haven't seen flashbacks of him in quite some time, so we get a little bit more of his backstory post his brother's death, which was interesting. And then, of course, I always enjoy the care this show brings to all of their cases and how the lesson comes through in those. So I also really enjoyed that.
I think that, like you said, it's the lesson because it brings the personal side to the show. So, it's a show we enjoy. It's for entertainment, right? And it's partly made up. But when it brings in the personal aspect, especially when Sean asks, how do you make a new friend? That's real life. How do you make a new friend? And not anything that I personally thought about myself when I first moved to Los Angeles, but it was how do I get out and not be a homebody when I don't want to be a homebody? Yeah. So that just was, again, reflective and a personal point. And then also, I'm sure there are people who are watching, parents especially, who may have lost a child, and maybe that was also therapeutic for them or some way to think to release their child in aspect, but still hold on to the love and the good memories. So I think the job, like you did say, does very well at bringing the personal aspect to it. And I think that's why we're all joining to it.
That is. Definitely. What about Glassman's hallucinations? I know we got some of this in last week's episode as well. But what do we think about him prolonging him, not sleeping, not taking his medication so that he can remain seeing, quote-unquote, his daughter?
I think it was therapeutic for him. For a health risk, no, it's not okay. Always take your medicine, you guys. Don't skip
it. Yeah, you had major brain surgery, dude.
Take your medicine. But for him, his mental stability, it was good to just see him deal with what he did not want to deal with. Even though Maddie wasn't real, it was this conversation I'm sure he was having in his head with her that we just happened to see on TV, which is great. I just was happy to see him heal and resolve it. And I don't think till this day we knew exactly what happened to Maddie, her whole story. We just knew she passed away. So to hear the struggles and his family and what he dealt with and where he is today and, mentoring Sean, I think it's just a huge accomplishment for him. And I hope now that he has found peace, and confronted his issues or his inner demon. That's kind of when I know it's bad to say that about his daughter, but I kind of think of that as his inner demon, that he's able to move forward and heal.
Well, that's his biggest regret, I'm sure, in his life. So he does, in a sense, like you were saying, Carlin, has to confront that demon, that regret.
Yeah.
I thought it was slightly manipulative of Maggie because there are points in time, and again, right, he just had major brain surgery, so let's take that. He had his tumor removed. But there are points in life where, just as an adult, I don't want to deal with the issues in my life, regardless if it's just me personally or if it involves someone else. And if I could take the Ambien and go to sleep and deal with it in my sleep, I would be amazing. but when she said to him, I forgot her actual words, but if he took the pill, then she would go away. I think that was more so a cry for his desire to really want to find out what happened. Mm-hmm. And I assume that they're alluding to that she committed suicide once he kicked her or tried to put his threats into action and shut the door behind her. But I felt like both of them needed it. And I think, like I said, it was slightly manipulative on Maddie's part, just because I guess at that point in her afterlife, if that's correct, she needed to also let her father know that she does love him and it's not his fault, and to continue to live and continue to fight. So even though it was very emotional, I think they both needed that conversation for healing and to continue to live life.
I agree with you. I think the conversation needed to be made. It became very interesting because it started out very reminiscent of their relationship when she was younger and the good times, so to speak. But then things got very, as you had said, Tequila, manipulative. And at any point, he could have shut her out. Mm-hmm. But it's good that he didn't. And I just want to get your opinion on, do you think it was even possible for him to consider just taking the medicine and shutting him out? Or do you think he knew, I need to do this kind of thing?
I mean, according to what I heard, you know, from Ghost Maddie, that's what I'm going to call her, he'd been shutting her out, not really listening to her. So I think this was his moment that he needed to not shut her out and listen to what she had to say, because obviously she's had a cry for help. She's been dealing with her addictions. And he just shoots it under the rug, saying that he's going to be her hero, when her mother really wanted to give her help and hear her out. So I know it was tough to watch, but I'm glad that he stuck through, because apparently he wasn't really listening to his daughter when she needed him.
I think it was a part where, again, he needed the closure. I feel like he felt in his right mind that he did the right thing as a parent, because, you know, what do you do as a parent whose child is addicted to whatever and try to help them? And apparently rehab wasn't the option like her mother suggested, or more importantly, he's a doctor. So how is another way, not only he felt in his personal life, but also in his career, because he couldn't help his family, couldn't help his own child overcome her addiction. And so I think, I'm glad he didn't take it. Part of me felt like he was trying to fight it because he did want to. Because, again, when you have tough conversations, especially with the people you love, it's always hard and emotions are high. But I'm glad he didn't take the pill, because he needed that conversation. He needed to know that she didn't really actually hate him and that she does love him. And the way that ended, where he was like, well, she said she loved me. And then Sean confirmed, well, you're the most honest person I know. I believe it was true for him. Mm-hmm. Then you see him rest peacefully and finally get the sleep that he actually needs for his healing. Mm-hmm. So I think it was both, again, a closure for the both of them, but also just to the point where it's not necessarily a done deal, because you don't forget a dead child, but now he can breathe and continue on with his life and career.
He doesn't need to feel he's hated or he did a bad job as a parent. He was just doing what he thought was best at the time. Guilty is a great word. Maddie did make this comment that he paid or cared too much about Sean over his own daughter. And granted, this is nothing, we haven't necessarily seen this in flashbacks. This is stuff that we are just hearing from Maddie. But do you think there could have been truth to that?
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. I think even the part where she tried, well, I found that it was kind of laughable at the moment when they're arguing and he asked Sean to keep the secret about his hallucinations. And she's like, you know, I thought you both were like Gilligan's Island tight, and you know he's not going to be able to keep this a secret. So I feel like that kind of was a little bit of maybe her bitterness or her way of, she felt like neglected when it came to Sean, because he required maybe he felt like Dr. Glassman felt like Sean required more attention than Maddie, or on the other hand, that at least Sean is willing to listen and to have Dr. Glassman as a mentor or father-like figure, unlike Maddie due to her addiction.
I'm curious, Veronica, do you think Sean made a good decision in telling the doctor?
See, I was actually going to present this question as well, because it was a little laughable for me, because Maddie did say, oh, you know he's not going to keep it a secret, right. But a couple of episodes ago, there was this big storyline of, can Sean lie? And I'm like, he's practicing his lying, maybe he can.
I didn't think about that, good.
But at the same time, this was more of a medical emergency. I felt Sean was right to tell the doctor, because it's one thing if, you know, he was like, oh, it's kind of cold, but really it's hot in the room, you know what I'm saying? But this was, he realized he was hallucinating and seeing his daughter. But then again, I thought it was very comical. I kept our secret for 30 minutes.
30 minutes. That was the part. So, and that was hilarious to me. And I think he felt proud in that essence. So yes, that goes back to you. Yes. Can he lie? Yes. At least we know up to 30 minutes. Yes. After that, the truth is going to come out. So that was a good point.
You need a plot for 30 minutes. That's all you got with Sean.
He's working on it. Definitely. I loved it. I loved the small bits of comedy Sean put into that very dramatic kind of situation.
Yes.
And another part of that, so it wasn't just Glassman interacting with Maddie. He did interact with Sean a bit, where Sean wanted his advice, even though he was on bed rest from just having brain surgery. But Sean's like, what can I do about Leah?
Asking about relationships. I mean, somebody just had brain surgery.
Yeah.
But Sean. Sean is.
And he's also a person where when it's something on his mind, he's been trying to ponder and he can't get to the process itself. He has to let it out. So, and it's an emergency at that point. So, Dr. Glassman, ignore your brain surgery. I know you just had it. Your brain not even be healed yet. But help me with my relationship.
You
so,
think
I
Leah
thought
was
that
emergency?
Was. Well, for him, yeah, because he's trying to figure out how to be her friend now.
Okay.
And so that was his emergency and his thought process, because he can't figure it out on his own. So, yeah, I just thought that was. Like you said, the writers do a very good job in writing just the slightest comedy that doesn't upset the mood, that doesn't upset the storyline, and that was another part that I thought was just really funny.
Speaking of Leah, I think we should dive into their relationship for a bit, because that is how this episode started. But before we go into that, we have a special announcement for everyone out there.
Yes, we do. Hey, AfterBuzzers, our network produces aftershows for nearly all your favorite TV shows. From dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more, there is no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be, because they're optional. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did in the comments, and we'll thank you on air. Tequila will personally say you're the best person ever. For now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
Thank you. All right. Sean and Leah, this. What did y'all think?
Oh.
So, Leah highly annoyed me this episode. Last episode, I felt like she was just getting her emotions out because, again, it was selfish and it was all about her and her feelings. Yeah. This compounded onto that because I feel like she was transferring her failure and whatever happened to her, on Sean as if it was his fault. And she didn't even contact him while she was in Hershey. And how do you expect somebody to react when you show back up like, hey, hi, like you're a jack in a box and it's all good. And, oh, can I stay with you while I'm transitioning back? Mm-hmm. No, I feel like he had a right to act the way he did. And her being in her own feelings, I feel like it's totally selfish. I'm glad Sean did tell her that he didn't care about what happened in Hershey, because quite frankly, I wouldn't either, because there is no friendship is a two-way street. Any ship, relationship, friendship is a two-way street. So it has to be communication back and forth. When you left the Hershey, you disappeared until you came back to my doorstep. That's rude. So I do appreciate the fact that he did say, no, he didn't care what happened to her, what happened in Hershey, but also he did care because of her. So that let her know, finally, take your guard down a little bit. He's not as rude or cruel, or didn't she call him a jackass the last episode or something of that nature, a jerk that she is making him to feel. And I just hope we don't have to see her, it's not bullying, just her projecting her failure and her feelings or whatever happened to Hershey on to Sean next week, because I can't take no more.
Yeah. I agree. I thought she annoyed me this episode, and I thought that she was just being stubborn. Granted, if Roshan has every right to feel upset and abandoned when she came back and she expected him to welcome her back with open arms. Like, no, that's not going to happen. You just kind of left him out of the blue. And this is, relationship is not something that he's used to, even these kinds of friendships. So you need to understand that this was difficult for him. And he's trying this episode. Granted, it might have been a little forceful with the karaoke stuff, or like how he said, how he was trying the different methods of what
the doctors
were saying to him. But he was trying, and Leo was just being stubborn, like, no, no, I'm not going to forgive you, no, no. And it's like, what do you expect? Seriously, mm-hmm. You up and left, and you tell him, I needed you to welcome me back, basically. I needed you to be here for me. It's just like, you can't necessarily expect that,
especially not when you know a little bit of his history and he has abandonment issues. Yes. So you fall into line of the other women that have abandoned him. And then just to kind of like play devil's advocate on the other side, I can understand where she's looking for someone, like she said, to comfort her in this moment because of whatever happened in her. She didn't plan out the way she wanted to, and she comes back to Sean because she figures Sean was that person. However, you do have to take in the other person's approach and aspect onto their story and what they see from their eyes as to what took place. But I do think that it was a guilt trip from Aaliyah's half projecting onto Sean. I just didn't appreciate it. Especially when he said, I offered you a donut. Like, if you know Sean's lingo, yes, number one. And then number two, you know Sean's lingo. You know that was a peace offering. You know he's trying. He doesn't always have the best way to verbalize what he's trying to do. But he did get assistance from the doctors whose suggestions were crazy. But he went through each one. And ultimately, we see, like, the anesthesiologist just said, just be nice and apologize. That's what ended up working. But he tried. And then you come in his home, and he has a song playing. He's dancing. The disco lights are going all. Like, how still can you be mad? Yes. What he said, tequila stat. Yeah. So how can you still be mad? I don't know. But she was a pain this episode to watch.
My favorite line from Leo was when he followed her to the apartment and, you know, with something, and she's like, that was creepy of you to follow me. And I was like, it was creepy of you to just show up at his house to ask to
come
back.
It's so true. So true.
Sit down, Leah. But I'm going to play devil's advocate and to see if we can kind of think of it from Leah's perspective, right? So if you left, you said bye to this special friend, and then you come back and says, hey, can I stay with you? But not really asking, and just walk in. And you've been hurt, and you've been there for several days, and this guy's just been rude to you and asking you to leave and said, you know, I want you to go, you hurt me, and not really ask, like, what happened to you. I can see it from her side, too.
I completely understand that maybe something really bad happened in Hershey and that she does need support. I get that. But here's the thing. They didn't have a super close friendship by the time that she left. It was a friendship in the making. So it's not like there was any foundation, very strong foundation for her to go back to. So that's why when she was being very stubborn, it bothered me. One of the things in the beginning that I appreciated about Leah was that she treated Sean like a normal person. Mm-hmm. But this could be said about anybody, that you still need to understand that there are some things that people are growing, people are working on, people are trying to understand. And Sean didn't know what it was like to have someone come in and out of your life like she did, and then she's back. And, you know, he even made a statement, you hurt me.
Right.
So it's just, it's a lot of back and forth. I definitely can see it from both perspectives, but I do agree with Tequila. She really did annoy me this episode.
I agree.
She really did. All right. Let's dive into Sean Melendez's case. So Sean, Dr. Park, and Dr. Melendez, they are working on a child who had like a stick
fragile
or
X syndrome. Yes.
Something in his shoulder, and they had to get it out.
Yeah.
I thought this was a very interesting case, but what, before we dive into it a little bit more, what did you girls think about it?
I thought it was So the case itself, again, was something new I had to Google because I don't know some of these disorders. And so it was very interesting. Again, it was a genetic disorder characterized by intellectual disability, behavioral issues, and hyperactivity. And that made me think of Dr. Sean. So I thought this was a good case for him to be on. And as we see, he's able to communicate with Mac in a way that his own mother couldn't, but it was also the assistance and the help so he could understand that he's not alone, he, me, and Mac, that he's not alone. There's other people out there to help him as well. It was kind of odd, however, he got that, picket in his body. And I don't think we didn't find that out. I think he
did it himself.
Yes, I think so too. That's what I was leading
before
to because
finding out he had like a disability, I could tell.
You did, and because the way his mother come back and he had that gash on his hand, I was like, okay, so that led me to believe that he did the picket, whatever he was doing, mm-hmm. kind of happened from fault of his own. Mm-hmm. But how did you feel about that part of the episode?
Oh man, whenever you're dealing with like mental illness, it's very difficult. Mm-hmm. As soon as him and his mother came in and, you know, you see that he had the picket in his shoulder, I could tell based on his behavior, because I could tell, you know, in a few seconds that he had a mental illness, that he most likely did that to himself, just how frantic his mom was. And he's just like, I just want to go home, you know? Like, if it's an accident, most people are like, help me get it out. Not, I just want to go home. I love how Melendez talked to her, because I'm not a mom, so I don't know the connection, but I know when you really care about somebody and you've been taking care of them their entire life, to just turn them over to another family or the government system to help doesn't seem like the right choice, but it is, because they have resources and tools and trained professionals who are able to take care of them that you necessarily don't have. And then not only for Mac's mom, her safety is now into question, you know, with the gash in her hand, so she has to take care of herself. Someone told me something. It's so true. You have to take care of you before you can take care of somebody else. Mm-hmm. So I really respect Melendez stepping in and giving her that advice.
I agree with you, Carolina. I'm not a mom, so I can't speak to that side of it. But I feel like there is a sense of worry among mothers that feel like they're being judged by other people for raising their children a certain way.
For asking for help, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, yes. And that's, as you said, it's ridiculous. And it's very sad because Mac's mother, she is doing her best considering the situation. And I don't think it was necessarily wrong, again, speaking as, you know, a person viewing the situation, I don't think it was wrong for her to want a break, because she asks, like, oh, I thought he was going to be here overnight. I don't think it was wrong for her to want a break, because it is a very difficult time, very, very difficult thing for her to take care of her son 24/7. Mm-hmm.
And it appears
like this,
that she's doing it on her own, too. Yes. So, yes, not to say that it's granted, no, but at a moment in time, the help would definitely be appreciative, which is why I'm glad they did suggest that they go and have, like, a facility that he can go to, at least if not that he's living in, but he can go through during the day so that he's with other like-minded people and he has activities to do, and all that weight is not just on her.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that she could ask for help, and I felt like she felt complete judgment when she said that, and then complete judgment when they were suggesting, well, maybe you can put him in a home or something where you can get assistance, and she was just like, I can't do that.
Right.
People are going to think that I abandoned and gave up on him. But, you know, as you were saying, Nicole, she was doing it by herself. I don't think it's wrong to have that as an option if it does become overwhelming.
Yeah.
And I think it was the beautiful part in that section of the episode to where you have Sean have his flashbacks to his mother and how she did essentially give him up to another caretaker, and how it worked. And so he was able to help the mother tell her, you know, well, he's not, he won't be upset. If so, it won't be for long. He'll be really scared, but he won't be upset. And then just kind of walk her through what he went through and just the memory of how he felt at the moment, what happened, and the infamous word of the show title, Titmouse, basically getting those things to in order for him, and which I actually liked, because it was levels to where he ended up having to be an independent adult. There was no catering because of his disorder. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was a perfect example of how you can learn lessons from anybody at any different day, mm-hmm. any different time.
Sean's guardian was the best.
Yeah. She was great. I feel like she was a little too blunt for Sean.
She was tough love.
As a child, yes.
But he needed it.
Exactly, but he did need it. Yeah.
Look at how he's grown to have it. Like, he needed it.
Yeah, definitely. I think you, like, a lot of people can benefit from tough love sometimes, if it's needed. But can we also just talk about the saying tough tit mouse?
Yeah.
I had never heard it before.
Me either.
But yeah, Carlina, you were saying how you heard it before and how it's apparently a southern thing.
Yep, it sure is.
Is it used the same form as... So when I first heard it and when you seen it in the show, it was like to say, well, it is what it is.
It's kind of like suck it up, you know, be strong, do it, you know, like it's like, you know, if you got bullied on the playground. And,
tough tit mouse.
Yeah, your mom would be like, tough tit mouse, like get back up there. And it's good and it builds character. I feel like that's such a Southern thing.
Like. I feel like I might have to bring it back. I have to look and figure that out. Yeah.
I feel like I have to concentrate too much on saying it, so I would never be able to actually say it.
Or without laughing too hard.
You just have to be like, you know what? Tough tit mouse. Like, you just let it roll.
Yeah, I feel like saying it a few times, I get used to it, but right now it's mixing with a whole other bunch of words in my head. I feel like
body parts and everything else.
Wrong. Yeah. But I really appreciated this storyline. And from the storyline, we also see Melendez struggling a little bit because he, you know, this was one of the hard questions that was posed to us this episode, was trying to make unbiased opinions. You could clearly see that he was against her trying to give up her son. And we find out why, where we are introduced to his sister, who also has a disability. Yes. What do we think about this revelation?
I mean, first of all, let me just, like, a lot of people have, like, a fear of these, you know, homes or, you know, clinics that people are going to, you know, with mental health. These are the best programs, the best professionals. They have their friends. Yes, it's different than growing up, you know, with your family, but it's safer and better for them. Like, you could see his sister's, like, learning and putting together puzzles, and she's probably more communicative than she was when she first entered. So I'm sure he knows, like, oh, we wish we could have, like, grown up together, but he could see the progress in her. That's kind of, like, what I saw, you know, when he was like, oh, you forgot a piece, and, like, she put it back. You know, you could just tell, like, he was kind of like, this was a good decision for our family.
See, for Melendez, I thought it was more so he kind of resented his parents a little bit for putting his sister in the home because he was probably thinking, you gave up on her, which is where his past baggage, so to speak, came into play, because he didn't want the mother to make the same mistake he saw that his parents make.
I do agree. And it also brought me into a question to how long has it been since he had visited his sister? Because I feel like when they were there and talking at the table that he hadn't seen her as a while because of his inability to help her or his parents' lack of staying strong and helping her and not putting her in that home. But like you said, Carlina, it is very beneficial because you get to be with like-minded people. You get to have your own group of friends. Mm-hmm. You're not pressured because of what your parents may want you to do or at this stage of life, and you haven't fully matured to that, and you may never will. So I think that, again, they do have the amazing professionals. My grandmother is one of the nurses that works in assisted living homes for disabled patients, and they are amazing. Like, she has one of the patients who she kind of takes care of even outside of the facility, and he'll come to our Thanksgiving and he'll come to Christmas and everything like that, and he's just like a ball of fun. But you don't always realize that, because the notion is when you have a child who has a disorder or a mental illness, it's seen as a stigma and it's seen as something negative, when in reality, if you just give that child love, they'll be great.
Yes.
They'll be great, and not take so much of the guilt on yourself and on your shoulders of thinking you did something wrong.
Absolutely.
I agree. I feel like it's a terrible reality that we have, where mental illness and disabilities are seen as a stigma, and then the fear of judgment many people feel for making these decisions, even though it's true what you both were saying. They're professionals. Mm-hmm. They know, they practice how to make these people feel more comfortable and help them, which, you know, their loved ones are doing their best, but they haven't gone through the same practices as these nurses and doctors.
Right. Yeah.
So it's just a very sad reality, because a lot of people don't go that route because I feel a lot of people don't go that route because of the fear of judgment.
It is. And people, I mean, my dad's disabled and we had to put him, you know, until we figured something out, we had to put him into an assisted living home. And you do get judgment from so many people. They're just like, why can't you take care of him? And I'm like, well, people still need jobs. So, like, we had to wait to see, like, which relative could take off from their job to be able to take care of him. And luckily, like, my aunt, she's a trooper. She's doing it. But it's just like, those people, they have round-the-clock nurses, you know, mm-hmm. the round-the-clock doctors. You can call any time of day, you know, obviously, like, the hours, like, where you can't, like, when they're sleeping, you know, right. they have yeah. off hours. But, like, you're able to call and stay communicative with them throughout, you know, their stay. And for me, you know, for families, anybody, like, out there, I would say don't feel bad about it because he got so much help and so much further along in his rehab progress to try to, like, learn how to walk again. So when he was able to go home and do, like, outpatient therapy, he's done so much work in that facility. So I would say, like, you know, because I didn't do it, like, I felt bad. But, like, I would just say don't feel bad because in the end you made the right decision and my dad was happy with what we did. And, yeah.
Totally agree.
That's great insight. Thank you, Carolina. Yeah. All right, ladies, let's get into talking about the case done by Dr. Lim, Claire, and Morgan. But before we get into that, I just want to remind everyone out there about iTunes. Of course, you can always catch us on YouTube, but don't forget, you can also listen to us on iTunes. Please go there, rate, review, and subscribe. If you leave us a review, we'd be so excited to read it on air, and we appreciate it because it's seeing those reviews is what gives us happiness and allows us to keep going. So please definitely go there. We love seeing your comments, and we really appreciate it. All right, this case, this case I felt like once it was presented really put this episode in perspective for me. I don't know if you ladies felt this way, but I felt like a big theme of this episode with all of the cases we presented were parents and the difficult decisions that they have to make. And again, it's kind of difficult because I'm not a parent, but I felt like that was the case because it was Glassman, you know, the decisions he had to make as a parent. He thought he was doing the right thing by putting his daughter outside, but led to an unfortunate event. And then the mother, Mac's mother, having to make the decision of whether or not to put her son in a place where he can get more help that she's not really able to give him. And then this episode where the young woman wants to go and climb, but her parents are like, no, it's just going to ruin your life because this is going to happen again, this, and next time you might die. What did we think about the parents' decision to go against her and make her crazy?
Didn't know, first of all, that that's actual a sport, if we'll say. The climbing free solo. I was like, who does that? That's dangerous. So, and like the parents said that she's had broken collarbones and legs and everything. So I was with the parents at first, like, no, because you're going to kill yourself. And we don't want to purposely, and I don't say we, because again, I'm not a parent either, but family, friend, you don't want to see them purposely put themselves in danger, even if her point, it was something that she loved continuously. And just, I felt like the parents were just waiting for her to die and they were trying to do anything they could to just stop it. And this was the last straw, especially because it involved her neck and that could have been much more serious injury than what it resulted to. So I felt like I was in agreement with the parents.
Okay. the fact that she's 18, I do think she should be able to make her own decision. Where I was not in agreement, I think her parents should have just talked to her. And sat
it was
down
a very bold move.
I don't think they should have brought in the medical counselor and declared her to see if she's crazy. You crossed the line.
But that was Claire's. That was Claire's encouraging to do that is what I thought that took place. I don't think the parents did it on their own. I think Claire went and presented her argument to them, again, because of her personal baggage, and was like, well, here, if we get this psychologist, then she can come in and hopefully she'll say that she's not incompetent, but she's unable to make her own decisions, and then that she can then go with the surgery that the parents want. I thought that was Claire's doing.
Yeah, but it was her parents to listen.
Yeah.
That's on her. Again, I'm not a parent, but first of all, somebody's body is their body. I would just, like, let, you know, really deep flush out the details for her, you know, because I know she was just like, yes, 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 like, give it, like, a day. But then I know it's surgery. They got to kind of move fast, so it's kind of hard, too. I still think the parents really crossed the line. I know they were trying to save her life, but I think they should have let her get the surgery because, first of all, she's 18, and I don't think you guys realize the restrictions she's going to have. Like, you know, like, this swivel chair would be her best friend because she can't do this. She can't do that anymore. Like, imagine being 18. You can't do that anymore just because your parents think you're going to do something. Like, that's not cool.
I felt like it was a very interesting situation because her parents wanted her to have the more restrictive surgery. But I felt like if there wasn't the chance that she would continue to go and do this climbing sport, I felt like they would encourage her to go for the, excuse me, the, go for the surgery that was allowed her to be more like herself, you know? Is, does that make sense?
No. So you're, yes. So you think it was only because of their fear that she would again injure herself and ultimately kill herself? Then that's why they went with the more restrictive one.
Yes.
Gotcha. Yeah. I guess I can see that too. I definitely can see that. I also felt like, I don't know if it was, like she said, being an adrenaline junkie, or if it actually just was her favorite sport and she liked to do it. Maybe somebody else likes to do skating. Mm-hmm. Who knows? But I do think I seen it was a good moment where Morgan called out Claire, excuse me, on her own personal issues and not to try to bring that into the room with the patients. Mm-hmm. I kind of already knew that Claire was still going to find a way to make Kitty become incompetent to give the surgery that she desired. But I think that the parents ultimately, I'm not parents, that I agree with Claire again is that, okay, so she's 18 and that considers you adult. Yes, we know that by legal, but what, however, 20, 10, 12, whatever months ago, she was 17 and not an adult. So does that make the difference in her ability to be sound? And as her records show, I don't know how long, we don't know how long she's been roping free solo or climbing free solo, but she's had all these injuries and nothing has even decided to make her change her mind. And we even see actual athletes that do that. They keep going and keep going. And then, you know, retired football players now have brain issues and memory issues because of being hit and they played a sport that they love so much. And now you see parents and other organizations trying to fight on their behalf. So I feel like that the parents were correct and doing what they feel was right for her, even if it was restrictive or not, until they were able to decide, if she could really decide for herself.
All right, we are running a little bit short on time, so what are our final thoughts on this episode as a whole?
I'm glad to see Glassman finally get closure with the death of his daughter. I think there's still going to be a little bit more problems for Sean and Leah. So it was good to see, you know, I don't know. We didn't even mention that he said he bought the apartment at the end.
Right. So, oh, that's a whole lot of trouble.
Yes, yes, yes. So with that, and then it was good to open up different opportunities. Like if you have a loved one with either a mental or physical disability, what you can, you know, what your options are in terms of care. And I'm still going to have to disagree with you guys on, you know, the girl, the free fall.
Kitty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just because that's her body and with her being so young, I can never have my decision be something that makes somebody have a disability. That's not okay.
I think for me, I'm a little in between. I'm excited to see where Leah and Sean go. I hope they really just stay friends and nothing more and that they both learn and grow from one another. I think living together is not going to work out too well, but then I also wanted to scream at the TV, like, look, you were being stubborn and just rude and evil this whole episode, and he purchased the house that you like because of the fireplace or whatever for the both of you to live in. Like, how much more can he make a big statement or show you that he is trying to be your friend? I applaud Sean for taking advice of the doctors and finding out which was his groove or which was his right answer. Dr. Glassman, I feel like now he has his peace with his daughter. Hopefully we'll get to see his wife, his ex-wife, and maybe just them to speak about what's going on. And he was dating before last episode, so hopefully we start seeing that he's recovering and maybe she pops in back in the picture or he contacts her now that he knows he's recovered. But I'm hoping those two things. And Dr. Melinda has had they were dating, and then I think he asked the lady last season to marry him and she declined because she doesn't want kids and he does. So hopefully we'll get to see more people recovering or beginning new relationships. She won't be right.
Yeah, I loved that this episode we got to get a little bit more backstory into some of our characters with Melinda, Sean, and Claire. Again, as I kind of mentioned previous, I felt like it was some very nice insight into the kind of tough decisions parents have to make regarding their children. And I felt like it opened up that conversation for it's not wrong to ask for help and you shouldn't fear being judged. Mm-hmm. But of course, that's still a reality. But I liked that they opened the conversation for that. At least that's how I saw it. And I agree with you girls. I'm interested to kind of see Glassman and like if anyone from his past will come up, like the girl he was dating or the ex-wife. Granted, they're probably not in good terms, but your ex-husband also just had brain surgery. I feel like there might be a part of you that wants to know. And I'm just really excited to see what happens. Sean and Leah living together is going to be a whole bunch of problems. Yep. It's just going to be on fire. It is not going to go well. I don't think I have, at this point, any desire for them to be a romantic couple.
No.
I'm kind of on the fence right now if I even want them to be friends. But I do, there's a part of me that's like, I want them to work through it and see if we can get back to that nice friendship they had in season one.
Yes.
So a lot of good things this episode, a lot of good things we're looking forward to for the next episode. But unfortunately, that is all the time that we have. Ladies, where can the fans find you on social media?
Again, I'm Tequila Jackson. You can contact me at Tequila_IAM.
You guys can find me on Instagram at Cooking with Carlina or on Twitter at Cook with Carlina. Cool Halloween recipes.
Ooh, so spooky. And again, I'm Veronica Valencia. You can catch me on Twitter and Instagram at It's Me, Veronica_V. Thank you again for tuning in to the Good Doctor After Show. We love talking this show with you. Please comment below and we will see them. And again, thank you. We'll see you next week.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz, see you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.